Patrick also. How many of you like to know about St. Patrick? All right. Okay. St. Patrick was not a Catholic. Did you know that? He would be turning over his grave if he had known the Catholic Church had turned him into a saint. He was a Baptist. Pudens and Claudia and Lioness were missionaries sent out by the Apostle Paul. Remember in the book in the New Testament? Pudens, Claudia, and Lioness. They went into England and Wales. And they established the churches. So this is in the first century now. Okay? This is in the first century. And by the time Patrick came along, which was about 387 to 493 A.D., he lived almost 100 years. Or around 100, maybe a little over 100 years. Some people say he was like 120 or whatever. And this is around about 387 to 493. 387 to 493, that's over 100 years. Okay? Now, he was a deacon's son in a Baptist church in England, or in Britain. He was captured by Irish pirates. He was taken to Ireland. And the Ireland was just not much more than headhunters. Okay? They were really very, well, even Britain was a long time ago. These were very base, vicious people and immoral, and they were pagans. Well, Patrick was taken into, by the way, his name was Sukkoth Patricus was his actual name. They call him Patrick now. His name was Sukkoth Patricus. He went and became a field hand and a sheep herder and shepherd in Ireland. He finally escaped and went back to England. And he went back to the church where he was. And after a time, he got the calling. You know, God impressed. When you're a pastor or whatever, God just lays something on your heart and you can't get it off. You know, it's just there. And he was treated very viciously in Ireland. But God put a calling on his heart and a burden on his heart to go back and preach to him. Well, he went back to Ireland. Now, I'm reading some of this from the Baptist Church Perpetuity and History by W.A. Jarrell on page 472 through 479 in this. Okay, it tells a lot more than what I'm going to tell you. Patrick went into Ireland. And God just blessed him tremendously. He went in, by his own hands, he baptized, by immersion only, okay, over 100,000 converts. He established 365 churches. He built seminaries for the pastors could learn and preach. He ordained more than 3,000 elders there. And all the time he was doing this, the Catholic Church, which had just, you know, was becoming a world power because of Constantine the Great. See, he lived from 387 to 493 A.D. And Constantine the Great, when did he marry the Catholic Church to the state? 325, 330, somewhere around there. So this is very in the early part of Catholicism. But Catholicism wanted to control everything. So they told Patrick, cease and desist. You have no authority to be in this area. Patrick just ignored whatever they said. He discontinued to do God's work in Ireland. Like I said, during this time that he was there, this nearly 100 years, he ordained 3,000 elders in his church. They told him he'd have no authority. He said, I'm a member of that church over there. That church sent me out as a missionary. Forget it. You know, I don't have to answer to Catholicism. Catholicism, the Church Catholic, was just beginning to get the power that they would get over years. Anyway, later on, because he became such a famous missionary, Catholicism wanted to adopt him as a saint because of all he had done, yet they had fought him while he was alive. And now you see that. But if you study even in the Catholic encyclopedias, the Catholic writings, they will say Patrick was not a Catholic as we are today. He was a primitive Christian. What were primitive Christians? Baptists in faith and practice. He preached the Bible. He baptized only believers. He baptized no infants. They say the Catholic Church said that he established what they call monasteries, where monks would be there and they would be celibate and all this kind. When did celibacy originate in the Catholic Church? 1123 A.D. It hadn't even been thought of here at this time. And I can guarantee you Patrick did not create something like that. But they attribute a lot of these stuff. And of course, all the snakes in Ireland would run off by Patrick and a lot of other mythology about Patrick. But Patrick was a Baptist preacher. He was a Baptist missionary. He went in there. He established 365 churches. They also say that he established dioceses. All this stuff the Catholic Church said he did not do that. He established association meetings for churches where they'd come together and they would have association meetings and they would discuss what doctrines of the Bible, what really were the doctrines of the Bible and things like that. But all of this, and now we have them claiming him as a saint. But he wasn't. But never a Catholic. Never a Catholic. He was always a Baptist by faith and practice. And now, young lady, what is the purpose of a Christian? Let's go to Matthew 28, and let's see what it is. All right, Matthew 28 and verse number 18. A Christian, first of all, you need to know the Lord, don't you? All right? Now, the whole, what we call occupation of a Christian is laid out here. The whole occupation, have you got that open, young lady? Could you bring that up here and read that for me? Would you mind doing that? All right. Matthew 20, because I want this coming out. You're going to answer your own question. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse number 18.
And the 20?
18 through 20.
Okay.
All right. Now, first of all, Jesus is talking, isn't he? Who's he talking to? He's talking to his church. All right. The church was already there. All right. 28 through 18. Okay.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples."
Okay, now, there's a problem with that. "Go thee, therefore." That's what it says in King James. But what does it say in the original language? You remember, Sharon?
After you've been kicked out.
After you've been scattered. All right?
Okay. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations."
Make disciples, that is the command. That's the occupation of a Christian. Making disciples. But to make disciples, you have to learn the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So you make disciples, make habitual learners. And then what do you do with these habitual learners?
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
All right. Now, church history will tell you that the real true church went out of existence in the Dark Ages. But what does Jesus say? "I'll be with you until the completion of the age." And it says, teaching them to observe. The word "observe" there comes from the word "terio" in Greek, which means to guard with your life. Guard with your life. What's the job of a Christian?
Make disciples.
Make disciples. Mm-hmm. But to know God, you have to know that the Word.
Mm-hmm.
To make disciples, you have to know the Word of God, and then your job, God could go zap when you become a Christian, you'd be taken off. But why he's leading you here is to make disciples. That's what we're here for. Make disciples.
Great. Thank you.
Make disciples. All right. So we have it. Make disciples. Do you have any other questions? Randy, do you have a question? No? How about you, young lady? Huh? No? All right.
Yes.
Yes. Who's that?
Me. They said go.
Yes.
Is that the word that you said means as you're scattered?
It's having been dispersed is what it means. Having been kicked out. Matthew 28:18 there. Having been kicked out. The word, the imperative there, an imperative is what?
To be.
An imperative is what?
19:1. For
you, then, it's a compound word. Eighteen, nineteen now. It's parousentes, having been scattered throughout. That's what it says, having been scattered throughout. And then it says, un, therefore, having been scattered throughout, the command is, the imperative mode, the command there is, mathe suate. Mathe tu sate. That means you make disciples. You all make disciples. That's the command, not go ye therefore. They're going to be scattered. Because they were going to be scattered, weren't they? Acts, the first chapter, tells you, and well, all the way through the book of Acts, it tells you that persecution came upon the church, and the church was scattered all over the place. Matter of fact, other churches took up offerings from all kinds of church. 1 Corinthians, it tells us, 1 and 2 Corinthians, we find them taking up offerings to take to the Jerusalem people because they'd lost all of their property. All the property they had been lost. It had been confiscated by the Judaizers. All right? Does that help you? Does that help you, Brother Dick? All right? Now, we all know the Great Commission. They've been talking about that for many, many years, but there's problems with it. If we get that far tonight, we're going to see a little thing here that just absolutely, even the translators in New American Standard made a gross error. Okay? All right. 17th chapter, the beautiful chapter of the Gospel of John. This is where we have the Lord's intercessory prayer. Ego in autois. Kai, si en imoi. Hina, usen, tet, taid. See. Tet. I'm in 1723. 1723, okay? Tete leo minoi, ace hen, hina, genoske, ho cosmos, hote, si me, apostelos, kai, akapesos, autois, katos, eme, akapesos. It's awfully hard for me not to translate that in my head and read it as I'm going. I want to tell you something. I start saying it in English and I have to... Ego in autos. I among them is what it says there. I among them. I, ego, that's nominative, singular, masculine, first person pronoun. Even the pronouns in Greek are what we call declined. Okay? In autois. Now, see that word in autois. Brother Dick, now, in. What case do we think this in is in? It's real easy to remember in. Brother Roger, in. Location. Location in locative. All right, in the locative case. And it's locative plural, masculine, third person pronoun. I in them, and you in me. All right? And emoi there is what? This one here, we have a second person pronoun, don't we? All right? In me. In order that, they may be, having been matured, perfected, having been matured, is what it, brought to the end result. That's what it really means there. There we come from teleo. This one comes from teleo. It's teleo, okay? And it's nominative plural masculine, perfect participle, and passive. Having been caused to be matured. Unto one, in order that it may be known, or continue to be known, the world, look at that, the cosmos. Look how many times that John has used the word cosmos. Think back to John 3:16 now. I want you to think of that word cosmos. The cosmos means what? It literally means order, doesn't it? Okay, whose order are we living in today? as externally, the mass of humanity, what order are we living in? What justice system are we living in? Under what auspices of whom? Who is the God of this age? Lucifer, the Satan, the opposer of God. And so that's why we have so much of a mess out here. That's why we have all this disease and all the problems we're having in the world, all the hate, all the dissension, all the killing, all of the greed. All of this is from Satan's point of view. You go back in the Old Testament and you look at the law of Moses. And you will see something that is so contrary to our belief. It's so contrary. Totally contrary. It's the opposite of greed. It's the opposite of manipulation. Almost every religion in the world will demand of you more than what God demands. Did you know that? Right? Catholicism. You go in there, they didn't want you to read the Bible at all. They took the Bible out of the people's hands for over 1,000 years. They could not have a Bible. Period. Only because of a Protestant revolution. And of course, by the way, I want you to understand that all through, since Jesus called out his church, there were real true New Testament churches in the world all that time. They never went out of existence. Okay? Go, please, and listen to those 26 classes that I did on church history. You'll learn so much, you'll know so much more about your Bible. Simple as that. In the world that we live in. The world is in a mess. All the time. God set forth in His Word simple rules. The Old Testament was to show you that you were a sinner. Main thing. That you had to come to God and God would take care of your sins. The Old Testament and the book of Genesis, what does it do? It tells us that we are related to Adam and the original sin comes to us, to our father, and we're all infected with this original sin. Catholicism forces her people to become robots and to believe. If you don't believe in transubstantiation, you don't get to go to heaven. If you don't try to do all the seven sacraments, you don't get to go to heaven. And false churches will always ask more than the tithe. Did you know that? A church has no right at all to ask of you more than the tithe. Period. If they ask of you more than the tithe, they're going beyond and outside of the Word of God. Simple as that. Garner Ted Armstrong and Herbert Armstrong, they wanted a triple and a 40% tithe. 30 and 40% tithe. You had to set aside a certain amount for the 30% tithe, and it just went on and on and on and on. The Mormons. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they support. And not only that, what do they? If you're going to get to go to heaven, what else do you have to do? Got to make sure you go down there on, what is it, Tuesday, I think it is, and study real hard and go out every Saturday and see how many converts you can make and how much money you can collect. Giving those little booklets out, really they do want offerings for those booklets, you know that? They used to get that. That was part of their offerings. The world, Islam. Oh, what a monster. What a monster. Thing that just absolutely is dragging the whole world in their grips. And in any Islamic state, if you're not a member of that state, if you have a church there, if they allow it at all, it cannot have any, you can't say this is the Baptist church, you can't have crosses up in front of it, nor can you make noise in that church above a whisper, where nobody can hear you if they walk by. You cannot make converts. You cannot repair your building. And Brother Roger, what was this Tripoli about? One of the first things that they did to America?
The man ransom.
That's what you call jizya. If you are living in an Islamic state, just to coexist, you have to pay 25%. You don't have any property. you don't have any property, but whatever you make, they demand 25% of it, and that's just because you're a third-class citizen, period. All religions demand more of you than what the Lord does. You know what the Lord demands? Look and believe. God changed your life after that, but look and believe. We ought to go out and make converts. That's the reason why we're here tonight. We're in a discipleship program that tells us how to study the Word of God and then how to deal with these people out there. And you need to know something about Jehovah's Witness. You need to know a little bit about Islam. You need to know about Catholicism, because how in the world are you going to reach them if you don't know what they believe? You got to know to reach them, don't you? And to protect yourself. I talk about Islam a lot because you need to protect yourself. We're under Sharia law about 50% right now in America, period. Michigan just signed that into their state constitution that there is Sharia law now in Michigan, period. World. John 3:16 says, for God so what? Love the world, the cosmos. His order of things, that He's going through all this and through you as members of New Testament churches, He is not going to save the world. I want you to know that. He's not going to overtake the world. He is not going to conquer the world. He's not going to go out there, and you're not going to hold a knife at somebody's throat and say, convert or die, as Catholicism did for 1,500 years and Islam is doing to this very day. After Muhammad had conquered the whole Arabian continent and everything, the first thing he did after that was go after the Greek Orthodox, the Byzantine Empire. He would send them letters to those emperors and say, convert to Islam or we'll kill you. Your property is not your property anymore, and you will pay us 25% of all of it you have and make, or you'll die. Is that peace? Is that peace? Not peace. World. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The world, He's going to buy it back Himself. We're not going to go out and conquer it for Him. We're only going to save a small percentage of the world, aren't we? This is a small percentage. This is a small percentage. In the last few years, George Bush Jr., he quoted the Quran just like Obama quoted the other day, except they didn't tell you the rest of the story. They quoted the Quran as a emblem of peace. George Bush said, just like the Bible, it's a peaceful book. And they quoted, if you kill one person, it's like you kill what? A whole nation. You know where they got that? It's in the Quran, all right, but you know what it's talking about? It's talking about Cain killing Abel. And they got that from the Mishnah. Muhammad got it from the Mishnah, and he quoted that. And by the way, in the garden, the original sin isn't passed on to you, according to them. It's a decision that Adam made, and he got reconciled with God, and that's the way every one of us do. We just have to get reconciled with God. We're not stuck with his sin or anything else. And then Cain killed Abel, and then a crow was out there scratching in the ground and showing him how to bury his body. And then Jehovah God or Allah came up, according to them, and said, what are you doing that for? Oh, I can't stand it. I have killed my brother. He said, all you have to do is repent. Ask God to forgive you. I will forgive you. I'm all forgiving. And he did, so everything was all right. And how they got that is, in the Bible, it said, God said that Abel's bloods cried from the dust of the ground. Bloods? What does that mean? All of his descendants that would have been. All right? Theirs were Bush and Obama, but they didn't quote the rest of it. The rest of it went into jihad. That was just part of what they quoted. You better read the whole story. And don't just take something out and start quoting some little piece of something. Know the story behind it. All right? Yes. To kill a person is to destroy a whole nation or the whole world. As Muhammad said. To save a man is to save the whole world. That sounds real good. But then go out and persecute your enemies and you make sure they convert. If they don't convert, cut their throats. Or put them under jizya. Put them under subjection. All right, that's the rest of the story. Quite a little bit different, isn't it? If you look at the whole book. Having been matured, having been called to be matured unto one in order that they may continue to know the world, the God's churches in the world. Matthew 28:18-20. What is the job of a Christian? God could have zapped you up and just beam me up, Scotty, you know, like it used to say. Except God leaves you here for what? To reach these rats. These false religions. You know, I've had more people converted out of Islam, or not Islam, but Catholicism, than anything else. Boy, I've yet to get one out of Islam. I've yet to get one Mormon. I've yet to have one Mormon convert or one Islamic convert. But the Catholic Church, you know why? When you finally start reading the Bible to them and they tell you how beautiful the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is, you know, they were taught all about Mary and they were taught about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They know that this is God. Know who the Son is. Unless you're an Islam. Do you know that Muhammad went into heaven and married Mary? He married her. Consummated that marriage. Yes, he did. And Mary lived a sinless life, and Jesus lived a sinless life, and so did Muhammad. Hogwash. Tell tall tales and stories and mysticism. That's not the story we have. We have the story of Adam that sinned in the garden. Willingly, who really was responsible for the sin in the garden in the human race? Adam was, because he knew better. He was supposed to guard his wife and guard the garden. All right? And he blew it. And of course, we're all recipients of his sin nature. And not only that, we also have the curse of death, which proves the sin nature, doesn't it? If somebody could live without sin, they wouldn't die, would they? You know that all these little organisms and what we call microbiology and all that, these are all what we call fallen, mutated viruses and bacteria that are evil because we live in an evil world. And that's what does us in. All you work as a nurse, young lady. These stuff kills people, doesn't it? The flu virus that we had a while back, how many of you had the flu? How many of you didn't, maybe? I had it real good, boy. I mean, I was down from middle November to the middle of January with that stuff. It just about killed me. One of my friends lost his mother. She was all right. She got the flu and it killed her. That's that mutated falling life forms. They're alive, aren't they? They're life forms, but it's fallen life form that has come down and mutated since the garden. That you and me, you have sent and you have loved them. This goes right back to John 3:16. See, John is repeating John 3:16. Just as me, you have loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten and only beloved Son to give His life for us. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world because the world was already condemned, didn't He? He said, I came in, I was the light of the world. But those who would not adhere to the light or believe the light wanted to live in darkness. In darkness. 1724, Pater, Ho Dedokos, Moe Thelo, Kina Hupo Eme Ego Takenoi, Osen Met Emoi, Kina Therosen, Tain Doxon, Tain Emain, Hain. Well, it's a long verse. Dedokos, Moe, Hote, Agapesos, Me, Pro Katabales Cosmu. This is beautiful. This goes back in eternity. This verse does. What, Father, you have given to me, I wish, in order that where I am, I, there, those also, they may be And look at all of this. Now, is there a qualitative quality of believing? Why do we know that? What's in every one of these verses? Every one of them is in the what? In the subjunctive mode, that they may be. What decides your future? Yeah, God gave you the most dangerous gift in the world, didn't He? That's volition. That's free will. God made man in His shadow-casting likeness, which is His what? Spiritual likeness. He made him His blood-flowing likeness, which is His physical likeness. And He made him in His sovereignty, didn't He? Adam had what? Sovereignty over all of the whole world and over his soul. He handed over the sovereignty of the world to the devil and cursed his soul. But God redeemed it, didn't He? That they may be with me in order that they may behold the glory, my glory, which you have given to me because you have loved me. Pro katabales. What in the world is that? Brother Mike, you know what that pro katabales is? How about it, Sharon?
Before the foundation.
Before the laying down of the foundation. Now, God had the foundation, had the plans of the earth, the blueprints of the earth, in His mind for millions of years, maybe. I don't know how many. Eternity past. That's olam. That's ages upon ages upon ages. And ace Tony, on Tony, on. And also Barashith in eternities. Eternities past, God had the plan of salvation. And it wasn't going to cost you nothing. Zero. Not a thing. It's going to cost God everything. Islam, Catholicism, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witnesses, all have a God that's way out yonder. We have a God that came to us and took us by the hand and said, follow me. I've already opened the door. You don't have to open any doors. You don't have to do these things. You don't have to do these things. The world is just absolutely plagued with superstition in it. Muhammad said when his followers got up in the morning, that they need to take water and snuff it up in their nose and blow their nose three times. Because the devil's been looking up there and fooling around up there in your sinuses all night. Superstition. Superstition. Did you know that one, Brother Mike?
I have heard that.
All right. Blow your nose three times to get those jinns and devils out of there. Get them out of there. Superstition. Superstition. When you see the cross, if you're a Catholic, what do? Right now, cross yourself. When you see a picture of Jesus, you got to cross yourself. When you pray, you got to cross yourself. All that. That just becomes automatic, doesn't it? I've had people saved, and we were praying at the table after they got saved, and they would still try to cross themselves, and they'd say, I'm not freaking. So used to it. You have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. The endless joy of seeing Jesus as He is one of these days. It's going to be an endless joy when you can look upon your Savior. Do you realize how much greater to look upon the one that saved you than to look upon some faraway God? As these people, of course, they're not going to get there anyway. They're not going to be in that part of the hemisphere. They're going to be in file 13. You know how joyous it will be to look upon the one that saved us? We pray to Him every day and pray in His name, don't we? We have the right to do that. He gave us that authority. He gave us the authority. He passed that authority to you to pray in His name. 1725. Pater dikai, kai, whole cosmos. Look at that word off, cosmos again. Si, uk, egno, ego, de, si, egno, kai, hutoi, egnoson. Brother Dick, look at all these. That gnosko is in a whole lot of different forms there, isn't it? Kote sime apestalos. Righteous Father. Now, pater dikae. Dikae. That comes from dikaiosune. All right? It means holy, righteous, just Father. And here we have the word kai here, but it's different. Here, it has an idea of while, or because, a causative formation of it. While or because, whole cosmos. Again, look at that word cosmos. How many times has it been down there? Because the world you not, it has known. The world. What world? That's the lost and dying world that's in the hands of Satan himself. The world you not, it has known. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. Second aorist means what, Brother Roger?
Takes a long time.
Punctuary action, but it's a durative of punctuary action. Not it has known, yet I knew. All right? You, I knew, or I have known. And these, third person plural, second aorist, indicative active, and use these, they know. That you, me, now look at this word, apesteles. Second person singular, first aorist indicative active. You did sin. Now, what kind of, this is the word we get our word apostle from, isn't it? What does the word apostle mean? Apo means what? That's a preposition, which means it's in the oblative, that means to send out, away, okay? And stelo, to send away with authority of a king or the authority of divine power. Okay? 26. The last verse, 17th chapter. Kai agnorisa autois to onoma su kai noriso hina he agape hein agapas agapasas, that is, me in autois A, cago en altois. Now, look at Kai there. Kai is and, or because I have made known. You might put down because instead of and down there, because it's a causation. It's cause. I have made known. First person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. To them. To them. What case is that in? Or not, what case is it in? To them. That's dative plural, third person pronoun, dative. We got a nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. This is in the dative case, two or four. Okay? To them, the name. Look at that word onoma. What's in a name? You have to go back into the Eastern mind. What does a name mean? Corey, what's a name mean? Onoma. Authority, power. Authority and power. Exousia. We're in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We see the name, the word name here, and we see the word exousia also. And exousia, name means authority. Period. That means sovereignty. In my sovereignty. In the sovereignty of you. God made man in his sovereignty, didn't he? In his sovereign image. Now the word exousia, remember what the word exousia, it comes from ek and usi, usen. What does that mean? Roger.
Like the authority of the king.
More than that.
The absolute authority.
Okay, absolute authority with no limit, unlimited power. That's what exousia means, unlimited power. In the authority of you, and I shall make known, look at that, I shall make known in order that the love, hey agape, the spiritual love, the sacrificial love. For God so loved the world. Again, he keeps using this, doesn't he? He keeps using the word love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Look at how many times the word gave is in here, too. The love which you have loved, second person singular, first aorist indicative, me. Word me there is in what? Look at that. Me. You have loved me. If it had ace in the front of it, or if it had eth in the front of it, what it would be in, Brother Rocker? That's the object, isn't it? You have loved me. That's accusative. All right? You have loved me in them. May it be, come, and I in them. You have loved me in them, or may it become. Look at that word, may it become. What is the subjunctive there? Because each and every one of us have to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ on our own volition. That sovereignty that God gave you has got to be exercised. Got to be exercised. Now, God does the calling, doesn't He? He does the saving. He does all that. He gives you the faith. You can't get the faith. You can't work it up. I get kind of disgusted with these faith healers saying that, well, the only reason why you aren't healed is because you don't have faith. Where in the world does the faith come from? You muster it up? What do you do? Where does it come from? Ephesians 2 and 8. For in grace you're having been saved. What? Through what? Through faith. And that what? And that faith is where? Not out of you. You don't have any faith. You can't muster faith. Faith is a God-given gift. What gifts do we have in the world today? What are the three gifts, Brother Dick? You know what they are. Faith, hope, and what? Love. Faith. That's the number one. Faith. We have that faith. We have that trusting. That's a gift that's given to us. 18 and verse 1 now. Tauta, apon, asus, exelthane, un tois mathetes, auton, or autu that is, paron, tu, kar, kermaru, tu, kedron, hupo, ein, kepos, ais, hon, elsethane, autois, kai, poi, mathete, autu. These things having said, look at that. Now that word apon there, do you see that, Dick? All right. That is nominative singular masculine, second aorist participle active. And having said, now what is the root of that word? Who knows what the root of that word is? Sharon, do you know what the root of that is? How about you, Pamela? What's the root of that word apon down there? Look down there at the root. See at the very bottom of it? What is that root, Brother Roger?
Lego.
Lego. It changed, didn't it? It changed because it went to the aorist tense. All right. And having said Jesus, what's the name Jesus mean? Jehovah saves. That's a real good name. Jehovah saves. What is really, what should it be? Yahshua. All right. And Yahshua means Jehovah saves. All right. What does the name Jehovah mean? He who shall become. And having said these things, Jesus, he went out. That comes from Erkam I and X. X like exit sign up there. That comes from Greek up there. That eket, that's from Greek. That means out of it. All right? That's your out of it signs. And he went out with the habitual learners of him. And who is this? This is his church. Of him. Now that autu there, what kind of a case is that in? Autu. That's a third person pronoun, all right. But what case is it in? It's a case of possession. What case of possession is? Huh? No. The genitive case. It's genitive. Nominative, genitive. Opposite. Okay. The disciples belonging to him across. Paron, that means across and over. That's a little adverb. Of the torrent. Ke maron. The torrent or the ravine. Now, how many of you have ever seen a ravine that had a torrent in it? Have you been in a flash flood? Oh, I've been in some of them. Too many. A torrent of the Kidron. The brook of cedar. The Kidron means the brook of cedars. Okay? Where it kept on being a kapos. Kapos. And what is the word for garden in Hebrew, Brother Roger? God. All right, God. God means what? We're not talking about G-O-D, we're talking about G-A-D, God, all right? God, this kind of God, all right? What is it? What's it mean?
Well,
It is an enclosure. It is a protected. It is a protected, guarded pleasure park. Now here we got it coming into Greek here. This garden. You've been there? Have you been in that garden, Sharon? I've been in that garden. What's in that garden?
Yeah, it's a huge picture of all nations.
Well, what is in that garden? What's
olive
there?
Trees.
Lots of olive trees. Olive trees, they say, that go back to David's time. Did you know that?
Ancient.
They were cut down and everything, but this root, it's hard to kill an olive tree. I got one out there in my front yard, 100 years old, probably over 100 years old. The termites got into it and everything. You know what? It's still going. It's still going. Olive trees are hard to kill. There was olives in this garden. This is what's called the Mount of Olives. Unto which he entered, him, and the disciples of him. Now we know that Judas knew where this place was. What had happened prior to this? What had happened just prior to this situation? Jesus had met for an early Passover dinner, didn't he? He took the Passover dinner early. This is before the Passover. And he took the Passover dinner, and what did he do to it? Who celebrated Passover dinners? Who celebrated the Passover dinners? Each Jewish family did. And the father was the head of family, and he led out in celebrating the Passover, which represented the time that they left out of Egypt into bondage and into the land of Palestine or the land of Canaan or the Promised Land. Okay? And this is what they're remembering. But Jesus took it away from them. Said, you don't have this anymore because that's already been fulfilled. Now it's done. Okay? The Passover. Who passed over Egypt? Huh? Don't say the death angel. The death angel did not pass over Egypt, did he? No. The death angel didn't pass over Egypt. Jehovah himself passed over Egypt. And that's why we call it the Passover dinner, the Paschal dinner, the Paschal lamb and all that. And you butchered a lamb. And you ate all of the lamb and you didn't break its bones and everything just exactly because that lamb represented what? Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Because he is our lamb. He is our forgiveness. John the Baptist said what? Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. So, this last Passover dinner that they took early, Jesus died before the Passover. Okay? This is why he was crucified on Wednesday and not on Friday. The Catholic idea of this business on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Besides that, he couldn't be in the grave 3 days if he was crucified on Friday, could he? No way possible. Anyway, he took the Passover dinner early, and he's with his church. His church is here. It's here. The treasurer was there to begin with in the Passover dinner, and then he takes off, doesn't he? You know where he goes off? He goes off to tell them, let's get him. He wanted to earn 30 pieces of money. 30 pieces of money. And that's where he's going to earn it right here. So now that he instituted the Lord's Supper after Judas had left, he took Elijah's bread and he broke it up. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Okay? He broke up Elijah's bread and they took Elijah's cup and he said, take, drink, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. The blood of the Lamb. You know, here, right here during the tabernacle time, that no Jewish man or woman could kill a goat, a lamb, or a cow, or anything at all, unless they took it to the tabernacle? Why? You remember why? Remember why, Sharon? Roger. Okay, Roger. Huh? It had to be inspected. Well, no. This is, they're going to eat it. They can't kill a cow at home. They can't kill a goat at home. They can't kill a sheep at home. Remember why? How about you, Pamela? You remember why? Where? It was no, but this is just a cow. They're going to eat this thing. This isn't sacrifice now. This is just something your family's going to eat. Okay, just average, just daily slaughtering for the food of your animal. Why? The blood belonged to God. The animal had to be killed in a kosher way. They didn't trust them to do it. They brought it to this priest with a sharp knife, and they killed the animal in a kosher way, and they took all of its blood, and they gave that blood a burial. Because that animal gave his life for you. I'm a heathen Indian. Did you know that? How many of you ever heard me pray when I eat? What'd I say? One of them heathen prayers. Lord, thank you for the animals that they gave their lives for me and the fruit of your earth. Those animals gave their lives for them because that typified what? The real life. By penalty of death, they could not shed that animal's blood. They had to let the priest shed that animal's blood. Now, when they had their farms and stuff out, all they had to observe things very carefully, how they killed an animal. If you killed an animal otherwise, it was a death penalty for you. You just didn't go do it. Before Noah, no one was ever allowed to kill animals. Did you know that? Animals were companions at that time. You weren't allowed to eat animals. Not until they got off the ark. Then they were given, and that's when God put fear in the animals of man, isn't it? Okay? Let's go on to Gethsemane now. Ade. De. Kai Udes. Ho Paradidus. Auton. Ton. Topon. Hote. Palakis. Sin Echo. Te. Jesus. Eke. Met. Ton. Mateti. Auton. And he knew that also Judas, the one handing over, the one betraying, the one constantly betraying. He was in the process of betraying Jesus for a long time, people. Him. The place. Because often he was assembled with Jesus there, with the disciples of the church of him. Judas knew the place. Now let's go over here to this verse that I wanted to get to. And then I'll turn you loose on the world. Ho un udas. Labon tain speteron. Kai ek ton arki reon. Kai ek ton phariseon. He peretas. Erkate eke. Met phanon. Kai lampidon. Kai hoplon. There's some law-breaking going on here. A lot of law-breaking. Therefore, the one Judas, having taken the steteron. Now, in your New American Standard, and almost all of them, what does it say there, or where this is? Any of you have your Bibles open right there? What's it say there? Any young lady, are you over there? Anyone have that? What's it say there? Okay. That's what we call an interpretation. That's not a translation. The word speteron, it means about somewhere around 600 men. It means a battalion of 600 men. Okay? But now let's just go back and look and see what's going on around here. Had they taken Jesus to Pilate yet? No. They were going to go arrest him. Do you think Pilate's going to give them anything? Do you think that he would give them a cohort of soldiers to go over there and arrest Jesus? How many of you heard me read the Pilate's letter? You hear me read Pilate's letter? Pontius Pilate's letter to Tiberius Caesar. He told him that this is God the Son. I believe this. You need to make a God out of me. Let the Roman Senate realize that this is God. And I believe in him, and I saw all the miracles and all this kind of stuff, and these horrible people did all this. And they wanted people to guard the tomb, and I told them to jump in the creek, use their own temple soldiers. I believe that these are temple soldiers. This isn't a Roman cohort. First of all, they haven't brought him to Pontius Pilate yet, had they? No. So who is this? This is Herod's elite guard. This is Herod's elite guard, maybe 300 to 6 of them, 100 of them, okay. Now, they say this, that they come from the Tower of Antonio, palace and all that kind of stuff, but I don't believe that the Romans were involved in this arrest at all. We know later on, when they took him before him, they went out to they crucified him because the Jews could not crucify anybody, nor could they exact capital punishment, even though they did in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. They broke the law again there, didn't they? All right. And therefore, Judas, having this, what we call Herod's elite guard, and out of the chief priest, and out of the Pharisees. Now we have the chief priest, the head priest, and we got the Pharisees involved in this. And the deacons of the synagogues. These are the sergeant of arms of the synagogues. All the synagogues, they had a bunch of them there, because this here was just before the Passover. So a whole lot of them are going to be in Jerusalem. So now they go and they gather up all these tough guys. The soldiers. The elite guard of Herod. They get the sergeant of arms of all the synagogues that are up here. And he comes for himself there with a phanon. Phanon. This word means lamps. Some way to shine lights. And torches. All right. And weapons. Now, what's wrong with this weapon business? It was unlawful to carry weapons on feast days or feast weeks. And how many Sabbaths were in this week? How many Sabbaths did they have in this week? How many high Sabbaths?
Three.
In this week. There are three Sabbaths in this week. Did you know that? In this week, there are three Sabbaths. They could not carry weapons, but they broke their own law. They broke the laws of the Pharisees. Okay? Let's read one more verse, and I'm going to stick you on the world. 18:4. Jesus un eidos panta ta ercomena ep auton ex elthane kai lege autores tina ze tete. And Jesus, therefore, having known, look at that word, having known. How long do you think he knew this? Jesus stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Jesus could feel this very moment. He was out there in the garden, remember? Tears streaming down his face, the weight of the world's sin upon his back, saying, if this cup is possible to pass from me, let it pass. But it wasn't, was it? Humanly, he felt all of our cares, all of our miseries, all of our failures, all of our sins upon him at that moment. And then they're going to be exacted upon him at the cross. Having known all the things coming for itself, look at that. Accusative plural neuter, present participle middle voice, coming for itself upon him. This is when our sins laid upon Jesus. He went out and he says to them, whom do you seek? Who do you keep on seeking? Next week, that's previews of coming contractions. We went from 17:23 through 18:4. Do you have any questions on any of this? Have any questions? John?
You said they couldn't kill any animals and take them to the priest.
While they were in the wilderness, they could not kill any animals at home.
When they took these animals to the priest to have them be slaughtered, is that when the priest got a portion of the meat?
No. This isn't theirs. That was the offerings. We're not talking about offerings. We're just talking about everyday slaughtering. They've got somebody coming. You know, they've got somebody over here. We're going to have a dinner, and so we're going to kill a goat, or we're going to kill a sheep, or maybe we're going to kill a bull that got really bad. You know, I mean, this bull has been hungry and cantankerous. They, you know, we have workman's comp laws, everything in the Old Testament. All of that is there. I preached that in the Bible in 8 Ages. We went through all of those things in my Sunday morning class. By the way, I teach 9:30 Sunday morning in this classroom and 4:30 Sunday afternoon in this classroom. This was everyday slaughtering. These were not sacrifices. These were animals that they were going to eat. They could not kill them at home. They had to give them a righteous slaughtering, a humane slaughtering with... And you know that these people just came out of Egypt, didn't they? They were a lot of heathens, heathen practices among them. And what was one of the heathen practices that God didn't want them to do? You will not drink the blood. You go into the Italians, you go into any society, and what do the Italians make out of blood, Brother Mike?
Sausage.
Huh? Blood sausage. That's right. They won't eat that blood. They don't want to waste anything. But that blood belongs to that animal spirit because the animal's life was in that blood. And when you shed that blood, you give it a proper burial. It taught them to respect what they were killing. Respect because they have souls. We learned that in Hebrew, didn't we? Animals, all animals have souls. I don't understand everything I know about it, but they have souls. You ever see a cat or a dog that you got to know? You don't think that that thing can think and have and has an individual life? You don't think that they can figure things out? They do. They figure it out. You got dogs, cats, get a little old mouse. Anything, any kind of a pet. The thing is an individual life. All of this. Fish. You know, I've trained birds, I've trained fish, I've trained all kinds of animals. Horses, I'm working on one right now. She's trying to kill me, but Dakota got on her today. We got her saddled. Any other questions? That's a revelation, wasn't it? There's a lot of things in the Bible that we just take for granted that we don't even look at. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, go out and do something eternal. Brother John, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother? Oh, you don't? All right, just sit right there and do it.